You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. We are proud to say, for the first time in a long time, it is not a football Friday. And oh, how glorious of a day yet it is. How the heck are you? Miller and Moulton. That's who we are. MillerandMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X is how you can track us down, get a hold of us, send us a message, all that sort of thing. I'm sorry. What's that sound? What's that? What are you doing? Are you ripping up your bracket?
There it is. That was fun. Thank goodness I can gamble in Florida because my bracket shot. This tournament sucks.
Well, if the sanctity of your bracket was the determining factor of the tournament's greatness, then
Oakland.
Hello.
Oakland, not the Raiders. Oakland University.
The Golden Grizzlies, Mark. Right. They're not just the Grizzlies. No. We're golden.
Where the bear, baby.
Are you flipping kidding me?
Wow. How much fun was that?
So I ran out at halftime of that game to get ice cream because it was needed. And I'm listening to the radio, and they start going through the numbers of Golkey and another one of the shooters from Oakland that have no, like, I think Golkey had like two pointers in the last.
Yes. All he does is chuck.
Right. It just chucks.
Right. He has attempted for the season 8.8 shots inside the arc.
Right. And as he's making all these first effort, I had to give it up to the radio guys who said, you know, you think Kentucky might have checked the stats before and guarded this guy.
Although, a couple of them.
A couple of them were
from the parking lot.
Yeah, from his hip.
How about the one late first half? 28 feet minimum. He banks it in from right of the circle, gets up, looks at the ref, and goes, you know, it's fouled. Ref's like, the bank's open on a Thursday night. Leave it alone.
Yes, those kind of heat checks, that's as classic March Madness as it gets. Sounds like shtick, sounds cliche, but that's the truth. We get one of these games every year. That was so fun.
So how many of us were screaming at the television? I mean, don't get me wrong. And I had Kentucky going to the Elite Eight. I don't care. I mean, this is too much fun. And so I'm torn as it's happening. Then I start yelling at the TV, boxing one. How about a boxing one? Anybody ever heard of this? You know, the kid in high school who's tearing you up. You're boxing one. Hello? And then finally late, Cal even does that, goes to a box of one. I'm like, well, you know, 13 million a year or what have you. All right. It finally came up with something. Man, was that fun.
He just kept making them.
Yes. And he just kept chucking them.
Damn right.
By the way, tell me if you're a shooter, and I don't know how many years Campy's got left because he's nearly 70. And he's been at Oakland 40 years. But let me tell you, if you're a chucker, you tell me you don't want to go play for him, keep shooting. What are you going to tell your team at halftime? Keep shooting.
And Big Blue Nation. Oh, man. When's football season start?
Oh, no. Oh, no. First off, did anybody just for humor? Remember late in yesterday's show, we had Dave in the Cape who was helping us out with the good, the bad, and the ugly as it was going on. He was sending us notes.
Right.
All right. He's a Louisville fan.
Happiest he's been in a year.
He 2 years. He texted me and he said, happiest I've been in at least 3 years for basketball. Do you know what I'm going to do to amuse myself? I'm going to go online and listen to the Kentucky post game and call in shows.
Of course. Why not?
That's a rivalry. That's fandom right there. Your most bitter rivals, very painful loss. How'd you celebrate? I listened to the post-game call-in show. And I went on their message boards just to see what they were saying. One of which crashed 20 minutes after the loss. Oh, man. Buyout's $33 million, by the way.
Good luck.
If you're thinking about it. Oh, no. Oh, no.
They'd take them an hour and a half if they wanted it.
I was going to say, I think if they, you know, had an online auction after the game last night, they'd already have it.
They may have it without the online auction, David.
Yes, I think so. I think so. This is one of those moments in which they go, you know what? I don't even know who's going to replace him. I don't care. Just don't want to see his face anymore. Got to go.
It's starting to get that way around there. They're angry.
Yes,
they
are.
With Coach Cal.
Yes, they are. And they're blaming him. They're not blaming the players. A couple of whom they could blame, to be honest. But, you know, they're kids. You know, all of a sudden, Mark, they became kids again.
They're selectively kids, David.
True. Especially if they're a homegrown product. Then they're kids.
Well, it's interesting. Now, before they were paid.
Right.
Before they were paid, the kids' argument, even though they were getting money in a brown paper bag, the kids' argument worked. Now when these kids are making somewhere between $300,000 and $3 million a year, are they really kids anymore?
Well, they're rich kids. So there's that angle to it as well. This is how great the tournament is. A team that's favored, that is the better seed, can win a game and it feels like an upset. Because Dayton coming from what? 17 down with 7 minutes to go?
Yeah.
I mean, to end the game on a 24-4 run and to come back and beat Nevada, oldest team of the tournament, by the way. You know, remember, you know, Drake, Nevada, veteran team, star players on them who can get you a bucket to stop a run. Experienced coaches, for goodness sakes. I mean, people are going to blame Steve Alford. He called three timeouts. Three timeouts. I mean, you know, at some point, the kids have to stop choking. He can only do so many Heimlichs. But that's when you knew late in the afternoon, when Dayton ended the game on a 24-4 run, and even though they were this better seed, it felt like an upset.
Well, Nevada, I think, was favored in that game by a point and a half when it was all said and done.
Okay, I thought Dayton by a point and a half, but all right. I do know if you took the points yesterday, you went 7-9. So it was a strange day, despite all the seeded upsets that we had. Because we had five, is it lower seeds that technically won? I always
yes.
get that wrong. So we had five lower seeds win, if you count Michigan State in the 8-9 game. That's another thing when I knew, wow, we're going to have a crazy day today. Because Michigan State was hitting shots. I'm like, huh, what's going on here?
You know, Trent and I watched the game together. It was fun to watch Izzo, who has out-of-body experiences in the regular season. The same mistake happens, and he's bringing the kid over and hugging him.
Right. Well, you know, it's Izzo. Okay, during the month of Izzo, all right, we get hugs. December, January, February, not so much.
No, he pulls his hair out.
Right, but the Ides of Izzo, come here. Try not to do that again, okay, son?
You know, cherry on top, too. Maybe the mid-majors that win their conference tournament shouldn't make the tournament. Maybe that, too.
And then, so do we want replay in college basketball? Oh, man.
No, we don't, because there's too many teams, too many games, and it wouldn't work.
I know. That was a bummer last night, though. But didn't stay up to watch. 4-13 game. Kansas, Sanford. Sanford's down 22. They cut it all the way down to 1. Kansas player's going in for what he thinks a breakaway dunk, and the Sanford kid from behind blocks the dunk cleanly from behind.
Cleanly.
Gets the back end of the ball cleanly and knocks the ball out of the kid's hands. A clean block. No body contact at all. Sanford would have had, that was 15 seconds to go when he's going up to dunk it. Would have put him up 3. He blocks it. And Sanford literally would have had a 5-on-4 coming back in transition the other way with 13, 14 seconds to go down 1. Foul called. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Tell you what, you knew who the Big 12 fans were on X last night, Mark, because all of a sudden, all these fan bases take to X and go, yeah, we've been seeing those calls for 30 years. Okay. All right.
Well, now Kansas, I mean, we talked about how they got to get through this first weekend. They got to play Gonzaga.
Yeah, they shouldn't. Well, I don't know. I mean, Sanford still had to come down and score. There's no guarantee that they score the bucket.
No. Yep, that's right. But they would have had a chance to take the lead slash win. Instead, he hits the free throws. They're down 3. They miss it. They lose by 4. Terrific game, though. And hell with the 5-12s. Mark, where's the place to go if you're looking for a seated upset?
A little 6-11 action.
11s went 3-0. In all different ways, too. Miller and Moulton. The tournament is off to a tremendous start. Happy Friday.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. The starting five is coming up. Miller and Moulton and the madness. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Mark, just to review, we should have known that yesterday was going to be a dramatic upset-filled day and that our brackets, which we had a decent feeling about our brackets, even though we had two totally different brackets, we each had a decent feeling about our brackets. We didn't think we were winning any contests, but we thought, you know, these aren't bad. You know, there's some sound reasoning behind this decision-making here, at least in your case. I mean, you know, I'm always a little shaky, you know. 12s and 13s and a couple of 12s going to the Sweet 16. You know, that's me. But, Mark, if we were sure of anything, I mean, literally out of 67 games that were going to be played in this tournament, if we were sure of the outcome of a single game, what game was it?
BYU was going to destroy Duquesne. Duquesne had no business being an 11 seed. The rock fight in which they won the A-10 tournament was some of the most horrific basketball that we'd ever watched. In fact, we thought it set back the game maybe a decade, maybe more.
And also, BYU was a metrics darling. I mean, they had the net ranking, all that stuff. We love the net. We were so sure about this one.
We don't love the net, but we use the net sometimes to back up certain thought processes. And yes, BYU, 12th best team according to the net. Hell, 16th best team in the country, according to KenPom. BYU's not a 6. Hell, they're not even a 5. BYU is a 4. And Duquesne was the 6th seed in the A-10 tournament. So what the are they doing getting an 11 seed? This was a 4-13 matchup at the very least. At the very least. Mark, what was the final?
Well, Duquesne won.
Yes, they did. As a 9.5-point underdog. And by the way, we were not alone, because when the spread came out on the game, it was a 7.5-point spread. There was no game outside of like the 116s where all the money comes in on North Carolina and it goes up a couple, 2-3 points. There was no game in which the line moved more than on BYU Duquesne, and all the money was coming in on the Cougars.
And Duquesne won by 4, but it wasn't really that close because they were in control the entire game.
Led, I think, the whole game.
Yes. And you they got off to like a 10-0
yes.
start.
And then you kept waiting for BYU to turn it on. It actually looked like they did. And David, Mark, and I, funny enough, were keeping an eye on the live line as it kept moving.
We almost lost more money on that game. We were on the verge of betting that game live.
We could not believe how bad BYU looked.
So when BYU cut it to 2.
No. When BYU was down 10, we were thinking about rolling BYU at -0.5. No. David, it wasn't when it got close. It was at halftime. It was we were locked into the live line and going, if you're gonna do this, you have to bet BYU again. And fortunately we didn't, because we would have just lost more money.
We had some great post-game interviews yesterday in the NCAA tournament. The Duquesne coach, who's retired, who was LeBron's high school coach, 65 years old. He's announced his retirement. After winning the A-10, he said, "I'm done. I don't have the energy to keep doing this going forward." And so they win. Did you see the interview? He says to the young lady, he goes, "You know, I'm trying to retire and these kids won't let me." He goes, "I've got the promised land location and everything all picked out. They still want to keep playing. I don't know what to tell you." Ah, good for him and them.
Absolutely.
So the play, here's $20. You can only bet one game in the NCAA tournament. Miller and Moulton were like, "Well, that's easy. BYU, lay the points. Besides, they're all 34 years old. I mean, come on. Those are men they're playing there. I mean, there's practically Stockton and Malone on the court for him. I mean, come on. You're going to beat Duquesne? No, it's the madness."
So a bunch of 11s win.
Everyone that was scheduled to play yesterday. 3 out of 4. Do they go 4-0? I mean, New Mexico's the 11 against Clemson.
Probably not. I picked them.
I did too, so I guess.
Load up on Clemson. That would be my advice to you right now.
I was going to say, so do we bet Clemson then?
Probably should.
By the way, that one of all of them was probably the heaviest lean towards the 11. I don't know anyone. I haven't talked to anyone who picked Clemson.
The other 6-11s, Oregon is the 11, handled South Carolina. And
NC State.
Yeah.
Beat Texas Tech in the inter-squad scrimmage
right
between the red and black. I did, because I love the big fella for NC State.
He is something. Did you see? You said you kind of fell asleep midway through the nightcap and then woke up after that. Did you see he was literally throwing hip checks, setting screens and throwing hip checks last night.
His charging call that he was given, and I think it was second half. They start blending together. But they kind of body one another. And they kind of body one another again. And he kind of just decides that there's no way a third time you're going to be standing after I body you. And he threw a shoulder into that kid, sent him about 3 feet. They call a charge, and he looks at the referee like, what do you mean, charge? And he just flattened the guy.
DJ Burns is who we're talking about.
DJ Burns Jr., my man.
6'9", 275. He talked
275,
about how
my hind end.
He grew
275?
Up.
What is he, standing on the scale with one leg? 275.
He talked about how he grew up idolizing Hakeem Olajuwon. You can see some of that with his footwork and stuff, but he goes, unfortunately, I just ended up with a Zach Randolph build. he knows what's going on. He's not tone deaf.
He does. He's got good feet. I mean, he
really does.
He really does. You can see the, I mean, even Olajuwon, a couple of those low post moves are like, yeah, there you go, son. That's how you do it.
But he admits, I mean, he knows that he's one of the darlings of this tournament. Everyone loves the NC State run and the ACC tournament. All eyes are on him. He's like, look, I don't know what to tell you. I loved Hakeem growing up. I ended up with a Zach Randolph build.
But now they get Oakland.
Yes.
They're a game away from the Sweet 16.
Gotta love when a little mini pod opens up and next thing you know, you got an 11-14 matchup and one of them's going to the second week of the tournament. How great is that? He threw a hip check and just picture, you know, he's 6'10". What do you think?
300.
Yeah. And he has got a lot of it in the caboose. I mean, he is wide bodied, if you can picture it, if you haven't seen him. And there's a kid from Texas Tech who's trying to get around him, and he decides, hey, I'm not going to let him. And at the last second, he just flicks out the caboose. Boom! And that kid runs into it, and literally, it's as if he ran into a car. And he is laying on the court holding his chest like, oh, the fender got me. Oh, was that an Oldsmobile?
May have been a Delta 88. He's got the size, I'm telling you right now.
Yes, he does. He's got one of those trunks you used to be able to put four sets of golf clubs in. The starting five is next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. How's your week been? How's your bracket? Miller and Moulton. MillerandMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X. Ah, oh, it's the best, isn't it? It's simply the best. And to think that they want to change this. Morons. Time now for
the starting five. Five stories you need to know. It's the starting five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
So how many people go to Oakland? About 612. I mean, how big is this school? They were a D2 school up till 25 years ago. They've had the same coach for 40 years, Greg Campy. And he's done a good job there. They've won a bunch of games. They've gone to the tournament a couple of handfuls of times. But it's a small school. In the just outside Detroit, right?
Correct.
Auburn Hills.
Okay. Is Kentucky the bluest of blue bloods?
Yes. Believe it or not, Oakland's a decent sized school. There are 20,000 students, 16,000 undergrads.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
A little bit bigger than you thought.
Yes. Yes.
But it's a commuter school.
Yeah, my apologies. To the Golden Grizzlies. Yeah, they beat Kentucky in a 3-14 matchup. They hit 15 threes, 10 of them from Jack Golkey. Jack Golke is going to get to choose, much like Stetson Bennett. Does he want to own insurance or does he want to own car dealerships outside the greater Detroit area over the course of the next 40 years? 10 threes, 32 points. Oakland held off Kentucky 80-76. They are the 23rd 14 seed to win. If you think about it, we went to 64 teams in 85. And if you take the 1 year that the tournament got canceled, this is the 39th tournament. And this is the 23rd 14 seed to win. So roughly 60%. You know, I just, you know, so not every other year, little better ratio than that, but not quite two out of every 3 years does a 14 win a game. But the Golden Grizzlies did last night. John Calipari's buyout's $33 million. Kentucky has won one NCAA tournament game since 2019. They've won one SEC tournament game since 2019. Up until the last 3 years, Kentucky had never, ever, ever lost a game in the tournament to a team seeded 12 or, what's it, technically lower?
Correct.
Remember, 2 years ago, they lost to 15-seeded St. Peter's. And now they just lost to 14-seeded Oakland. Excuse me. Scott Drew on line one. I think they come up with the money. I do. The AD hates them. Hates them.
Based on some of the things I'm seeing from message boards that are being reposted on X, I don't know if there's anybody that likes him.
Not anymore, except for the players. Anyway, Oakland's going to face NC State next in a 14-11 second-round contest because the Wolfpack, do you remember when they were down three in the ACC semis and all Virginia had to do in the final 5 seconds was foul? And they didn't. And that kid banked in the 30-footer. Forced overtime and they won. Then they won the ACC tournament. And now they won an NCAA tournament game for the first time in 9 years. They beat Texas Tech 80-67. So there's your little sub-bracket there that blew up last night.
Yep. Right. And the Gators are sitting there not having played a game yet going, huh, look at that.
Wow. Wow. I'll be darned. So it Huh. And maybe we'd go on a run. So anyway, we had NC State was one of three 11s that won. Duquesne held off BYU 71-67. Oregon took care of South Carolina in the second half, 87-73. So the 11 seeds are 3-0. Then three 11s and a 14 win on day one. Michigan State, the 9, won the only 8-9 game of the day. They beat Mississippi State, and they beat them comfortably. Not a good day for the SEC. They went 1-3. And not only that, the Big 12 looked a little vulnerable. Texas Tech, BYU, Kansas. Kansas survived Sanford last night in a 4-13 matchup, 93-89. A very controversial, a blown call, quite frankly. A flat, blown call. All right. Helped Kansas when they were up one with 15 seconds to go. Should have been Sanford ball with a chance to take the lead or win. And, well, Kansas got the benefit of the call, hit free throws and won. They'll face Gonzaga next, who heard the likes of Trent Bally and David Moulton saying, you know, it's McNeese State. Well, Wade, all right, they've lost one game since Thanksgiving. All right, he can really coach. They can really play. Gonzaga said
when they're playing Mississippi School for Women
and winning and covering though, but yeah, Gonzaga took it personally.
Yeah, they whacked them.
It wasn't even as close as the 86-65 final. So here's what we're looking at. We're looking at Carolina Michigan State in the second round, 1-9 matchup. We're looking at a couple 2-7s, Arizona, Dayton, Tennessee, Texas. Well, Tennessee and Texas won comfortably. We got a 3-11 matchup of Creighton and Oregon. We got the 11-14 matchup of NC State and Oakland. All right. We got Illinois and Duquesne, a 3-11 matchup. We got the Gonzaga-Kansas matchup. And then we've got Iowa State-Washington State. Drake did it again. 8-point lead heading down the stretch, and they choked like big dogs. Again, that DeVries kid, the coach's son, yeah, couldn't put the ball in the ocean when it counted. Second tournament in a row. Unbelievable.
He's slow. I mean, I loved watching him play, but he's slow.
So Drake lost. I'll tell you what, if it was a team even more so than you, I know your bracket in a sense is more blown up than mine because you had Kentucky in the Final Four, but all the team, you know, I liked Stanford. Yeah, they lost. Looked good, but lost. Mm-hmm. I like McNeese State.
Uh-huh. They didn't look good.
I like Drake.
They looked good for a while.
And I bet my condo on BYU. So, yeah, I had a good day. Hey, FAU Northwestern gets things started at noon today. Stetson's going to lose to UConn. That one starts a little before 3 o'clock. The Gators, 4:30 TBS against Colorado. And 2-1 seeds in action today, Purdue and Houston tonight. And we have 3 5-12s. Remember, the 12 got blown out yesterday. A 12 didn't win a game in the tournament last year. So we have 3 5-12 matchups today and tonight. For the record, a 9, 3-11s, and a 14 were winners in the first day of the tournament. Women's basketball, their full field tournament gets underway today. South Carolina and Texas, a couple number ones are in action. Defending champ LSU is as well. Florida State plays Alabama at 5:30. On ESPN2, and Miami head coach Katie Meyer retired after 19 years and 10 trips to the NCAA tournament. She'll stick around and basically pick her successor and continue to raise money for the program. They should hire FGCU's Carl Semesco. I don't think Katie Meyer would let that happen. She's not a fan. So don't know who they're going to hire, but I got money that it's not Semesco. NBA. How about the Magic? They won 18 of 23. They're guaranteed a winning season this year. They beat New Orleans by 15. Couple that with the Knicks losing in Denver. They're a half a game ahead of the Knicks. The Magic are the fourth seed right now in the East. Thank you very much. Washington beat Sacramento. I mentioned that because now they're tied with Detroit for 12 wins. So there. And the G League's folding. Adam Silver hinted at it at the All-Star game. And basically, it's like, why do we need the G League for? We formed the G League 4 years ago so that guys who didn't want to go to college could get paid to play basketball. And Adam Silver's basically saying, well, with NIL, we have that now. So no reason to continue the G League. In fact, they're making more than we were paying. NHL, fifth straight win for the Lightning. Once again, same formula, Mark. Braden Point, 2 goals. Kucherov, 4 assists. And they got a Vasilevsky in between the pipes and a Hedman who's playing 26 to 30 minutes a game. They've won 5 in a row. Anybody want to play them in the first round of the playoffs? Panthers, all of a sudden, having trouble scoring goals and winning games. Well, what's going on, boys? Huh? Nashville beat them 3-0. Panthers are 3 points back of the Bruins. They do have 2 games in hand, however. Rangers beat the Bruins last night. Artemi Panarin with a hat trick, 5-2 over Boston. Carolina with the overtime goal over Philly, 3-2. Flyers are 4 points clear of Washington for the final playoff spot, but Caps have 2 games in hand. Big win for the Wings. 6-3 over the Islanders. They're 3 points ahead of the Caps, but the Caps have 2 games in hand on them for the final wild card.
Well, the MVP's back, David. Dylan Larkin came back, and that's apparently all that it would take.
There you go. I didn't realize that the Wings picked up Connor McDavid at the deadline. Good for them. Jersey 4-1 over Winnipeg. They're 6 points behind Detroit. I did that just for Seth. So the Dodgers beat the Padres, or excuse me, the Padres beat the Dodgers 15-11. 15-11. That game counts in the standings. Both teams are 1-1. Other baseball notes, Ohtani did not talk yesterday, but he and his people are asking for an investigation into the theft of his money, which is funny because there are $2.5 million checks that have his signature on them.
Right.
But anyway, Rays DH Jonathan Aranda is going to open the season on the IL. He has a broken right ring finger. He's not going to play till like mid-May. And the Mets signed DH JD Martinez, 1 year, $12 million. The Valspar is underway in Palm Harbor. Kevin Streelman with a one-shot lead at 7-under. 7-under is the leading score at the Sayre Pac Championship in California. Canadian Maude LeBlanc with the lead. When you name your kid Maude, you got to hope she's good at something, right?
It really sounds like she should be playing in that professional hockey league. Maude LeBlanc sounds like a hell of a left winger for the Ottawa women's hockey league team.
I agree. Just throw it in the corner and let Maude go get it.
Maude's a grinder.
20-year-old American sensation Rose Zhang is T7 at 3-under. And soccer, did you see how we pulled out a win in the Nations League? So Jamaica's undermanned, and we're big favorites, and we're losing 1-0 literally in the final 30 seconds of stoppage time. And we score a header, which technically went off a Jamaican, to tie it up. And then in the 30-minute OT, we score twice, and we win 3-1. People want Berhalter fired as much as they want Calipari fired, for those in the soccer world. They want Greg Berhalter out. Finally, Florida Supreme Court ruled in favor of Florida and DeSantis and the Seminole Tribe. They said that the West Flagler and the Bonita Fort Myers Corporation, your petition to challenge the Seminoles gaming compact, there's really no sense doing it to us. We're not the proper place to do it. They basically said, go to the Supreme Court. Good luck. So there we have it. We'll see if the court will take up the case in the next 90 days. Nothing riding on this or anything. It's just a 30-year betting monopoly.
For the whole country. It's not just Florida. This is nationwide. This changes betting everywhere. That's how big this case is.
Right. No big deal. It's only changing federal law. It's been on the books for over 50 years. So nothing to see here. And it's 7 minutes before the hour. That was
the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
So there you go. I think you got it all in.
Oh, you definitely got it all in. Didn't even really have to go NFL today.
No. In fact, I don't even know if I wrote any down.
I don't think you did.
But we got Pat Kerwin coming on in an hour. We'll take care of, what's going on. There's stuff going on. I didn't have the time. It's madness, baby. It's the first time in like 8 months it's not a football Friday.